Bo premanandi shilupada ki jaya. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After Srila Prabhupada left, there was some succession of people who follow Prabhupada. And naturally there were some challenges because they were young. Anybody here under 30? Okay. Yeah, only kids under 30. But anyway, people that were 27, 28 years old had to take up the service of initiating people into the Sampradaya. Now, I'm 68, and I'm still trying to do the service. And people were, you know, so young. And I remember at that time, we got a little bit concerned because in Europe, one of the people who was taking that service, he was getting very big palaces. And some of us that were in Vrindavan were concerned about this. And this subject itself of Guru Tattva. They say that this subject of Guru Tattva is very difficult to understand. There's three tattvas. The tattva means subjects that are difficult to understand because they deal with the transcendence touching the world. For example, Dham Tattva. Vrindavan is the spiritual world, but it's 90 miles southwest of Delhi. Shiva Tattva. You know, he's God, but he's not God. And Guru Tattva. So we were trying to figure out this Guru Tattva, this subject of Guru, how the succession will continue. So I remember we piled in a car and we went to visit one sadhu in Vrindavan that we respected, who was a scholar. So we were concerned for this one person, and we said, because his seat, I remember I went to the palace once and went to his guru post, and the seat, it was above my eyes. It was so high. So we said, we asked this sadhu, and I love when you get a genuine sadhu, the kind of the answers they have, it has like so much power and so much depth. So he said, if he is attached to sitting on a big seat, will he fall down? And then the sadhu said he's already fallen. So this is done as, I remember that same sadhu also told me, I said, should I take up the service? He said, yes. He says, but don't think you're guru. He said, do it as a service to your guru. So as a service, we connect people to the Sampradaya. That line, it's kind of like an electrical current, and you connect it, and then there's some energy. That's mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami defines pure devotional service. He says, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jinavritam anukulyena krishna nu shilanam bhakta uttama. What is bhakti? It says, anukulyena krishna nu. Bhakti is the feeling in the heart of liking to serve God. Right? It's a feeling in the heart. Sometimes devotional activities won't be bhakti. For example, if a mother has to take care of her child, but she wants to hear the Bhagavatam. And she runs in and sits in the front, and then her kids are like playing in the street, and it's dangerous. No, because it bhakti means, Pradyumna, my godbrother, Sanskrit scholar, he said that bhakti means to make yourself available. That mood of making yourself available for service and liking to serve God. And serving God means to serve God, serve his devotees, and serve everyone in a spirit of devotion. And serve their soul. Because what is the soul? The soul is consciousness, which reaches its fruition in service and love. So that's the real service, and everything else is meant to bring one to that point. So, this is bhakti, and we do things as a service. So sometimes when I'm doing this service, I become a little concerned, especially when I wake up in the morning and I realize I'm going to have to sit here. But this morning, a very interesting thing happened. Now that I have hearing aids, I can finally actually, I thought it was Prabhupada's accent, but I realized it's just I couldn't hear. So now I'm kind of relishing, like hearing Prabhupada's lectures in the morning. So I'm listening to his lecture, and then knowing that this day would come, and then, wow, I'm listening to his lecture. He's saying simple things, but they have so much power. And that's called, and that would make me humble. Because that's guru. I feel his power. I feel, and what is it? It's his conviction. I read in a commentary on Manasiksha, there's a nice devotee in the movement, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami. He's a nice Vaishnav scholar. And he was defining what is faith, because everything's based on faith. Without faith, you don't move. So he defined faith as Shraddha. Shraddha. And what is Shraddha? Shraddha, we say it means faith, but the word means to know. When one actually knows, Jnaninas Tattva Darshan, he sees the truth, he feels the truth. That's how we ourselves have come to Krishna consciousness, and that's how we are still here, despite so many things that may happen that may challenge that Shraddha faith, because we know there's an experience. It's not just theoretical. We have an experience. Prabhupada said that what is faith? Unflinching faith in something sublime. We have an experience of some sublimity. It touched our hearts. Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Beej. The seed of devotion entered our hearts by the mercy of Prabhupada and the mercy of those that follow Prabhupada. Something touched our hearts. I remember Henry visited me in Vrindavan, I think, was it, how many years ago?
35 years.
35 years ago. A friend of his wanted a free ticket. That's the story. So he kind of convinced him, well, you'll buy me a ticket. And then he came to Vrindavan. And then something touched his heart. And he knew that there was a sublimity. He knew that there was a sublimity that was higher than the ego and higher than the senses. And that's faith. And that becomes our trust. And it's not just I believe or I don't believe. It's a deepening conviction. And then that experience, our heart remains open to that experience. When we hear a teachings and philosophy that gives us a worldview that allows us to experience that and puts everything in place in a very thematic way, everything makes sense to actually touch the heart and move forward. So when I heard that this morning, it was simple things. It was simple things. It could be chant Hare Krishna. Wow, what a class. Because of that shraddha or faith. And then I have to say, that was a good experience. And a good experience is a humbling experience. Because humility is the platform by where you can experience love. That's why this is so dangerous. You sit up here, and if it moves you to the center, it moves you to the exact place where love doesn't flow. So everything has to be done as a service. So I was meditating on this Guru Tattva, and who is Prabhupada? And he did that service. He enlightened people. He inspired people. And he continues to do so despite trying to start the Hare Krishna movement. I don't know what you would call them. They were like between hippies and beatniks in the Lower East Side. And you see that video in 26-second air when someone says, I'm a gopi, you know. And you know, another person says, you know, we are some people are high on a low platform, and we are low on a high platform. And then the Hare Krishna film, the Professor Hopkins, it's separate. He's describing when he first, and they didn't know what they were talking about. And then Prabhupada, through his faith, he kept the movement going through his teachings, through that loyalty and dedication to him. Even to this day, the Hare Krishna movement goes on. Not by necessarily the expertise of management of, you know, most people who didn't even graduate college or have any training or the but by that, and by his shraddha, he gave other people faith. Because that feeling is still going on. And that feeling is coming through those who represent Prabhupada in different ways. And therefore, the movement is flourishing in many, many ways. So I thought, okay, I have this service. And what is my service? My service is to represent Prabhupada. And that's not a small thing. Because a guru is first a disciple. That's what a guru is. A guru is a disciple. And then I thought of two analogies. One I heard from a Vaishnav scholar, and he was describing when there's a war, then there's so many people that are injured, they don't have enough doctors, they make medics. And then if someone is a medic, but he's humble and sincere, right, he has some training, and he has his consciousness focused on the doctor, then he helps and saves people, and they have the same relationship with him as they have as a doctor. And the same teachings, the same effect is there. And then I thought of another analogy. This one I kind of made it myself, so now I'm getting proud. I'm getting the center. Anyway, it's the representative of the teacher doesn't bring you further from the teacher. They bring you closer to the teacher. And the example is I've got to watch this because I can't use the example with my hearing aids. Then they come off, so I've got to keep the glasses on. But the example is the glasses. Glasses is between you and an object, but it doesn't bring the object further away. It brings the object closer. So through the disciplic succession, we understand Prabhupada more, not less. It's not making us distant. It's making us closer. And therefore, the same thing is available that was available in Prabhupada's time. And that's the mercy and the energy of the Sampradaya. Guru Tattva means what? It means the energy of God that brings us closer to God. by the experience of God and by the knowledge of God. Now, today is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance. I have to give like a kind of like a confession. It's not the actual day of my birthday. But conveniently we had it this day, and it's usually the Saturday before I leave. My birthday's coming up in October. But so it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, and I had the other dilemma, that I really want to honor Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But I thought that's exactly what Vyasa Puja is. It's not supposed to be the worship of the guru. It's the worship of the lineage of the guru. And the guru, by worshiping his guru, shows the disciples how to worship the lineage. So Prabhupada's disciples, they worship Prabhupada, and they show one how to worship the disciplic succession. And of course, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great example for all of us that we can identify, despite even the fact that he had a pet dog named Tiger.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, there's so many things in his life. He suffered depression. Okay. That's in his biography. A lot of things we can identify with. And he discovered Krishna consciousness. He not only discovered it, he discovered it for the whole world. Because at that time, bhakti had become... And this is a fact. I'm going to say it in a way, and it's going to sound strange. Sex sells. So Radha and Krishna have the form of boy and girl. So it's so easy to exploit that to sell something. And that's what happened after after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People, of course, the material world, that false ego is so insidious. It just sits there lurking, trying to use anything to put oneself in the center, to get more power for oneself. So we see how even good things can be used that way. Like kirtan is the most beautiful thing, but you know, you could sit up there and speak some high notes and you know, use it to attract people. I remember Akinchana Krishna, my disciple, he went to Sharanagati and he played a beautiful raga for Jamuna. And she loved that. And he got it in Vrindavan. Beautiful. He said, oh, she was so, play that raga. So then when she came to Vrindavan, he came to see her. And she was very compassionate. And she looked at him and said, don't become an entertainer. So anything can be abused. Things are really not generally good or bad. It depends on how you utilize them. So even such a beautiful thing as Radha and Krishna and Bhakti was being abused. And therefore, it lost its dignity and status, especially in Bengal, where the origins were, where there was the British, Nanda Dulal is Bhattacharya, our real... where they had the Victorian influence, the Christian Victorian influence, and then you have Sahajya, Radha, Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, like that. And he discovered Chaitanya Charitamrita and the depth of these teachings, and he reestablished it. And he can communicate it in such a beautiful way. And he gave us so many songs. I don't know who was with me at that time, but I took a bunch of young people from the straight edge becoming Hare Krishna, and we went to India and we went to Jaipur. And when we came into Jaipur, before you get in the gate, there's houses. And there's a disciple of Prabhupada from Bombay who was Rajasthani who had a house. And he was right there, and he saw us. He said, come in, come in. His name was Manmohan. And I would say he was the topmost Prabhupada Nuga. See, he calls us in, and we're sitting with all these new people, and he starts to preach to us. And he said, Prabhupada is greater than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's like going like this. And then he gives what I call Indian logic. Here's his logic. He said, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Krishna. Prabhupada worshipped Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. Two is greater than one. But I kind of feel that also we have this advantage. It's not as the disciplic succession go. Some people, they say, oh, the good old days. But actually, things should get better as Krishna consciousness expands. I was sitting in the Bhakti Center for the Thursday night kirtan, and I was actually looking at all the young people and the people who were coming, and I was reflecting back to when the movement came. I said, it's getting better. So many people are coming. So many people are being enlightened. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just think that at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they didn't have Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs. So we have his songs. Okay, who can name one of his songs? What? Jai Radha Madhava. What? Vibhavari Sesha. Beautiful song. What? What's that? Ohe Vaishnava Thakur. Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Koro Vedasi Chena Peka Atihina. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. What else? All Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What? Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala. No, that's another song. That's the Boga Artik. Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala Sigohari. See go hari, so he goes down. Gopriya got her name from that song. It refers to spinach. it said spinach was the most dear to Lord Chaitanya. But I don't want to embarrass everybody here, but I will manage to do that. So we're so indebted to him. Gopinath, so many beautiful songs. So this is the Vyas Puja. And Vyas is the original guru. And what does guru mean? Why is Vyas the original guru? Realization. And what does realization mean? Realization means a depth of understanding where you can communicate truth to your audience in the language they understand. If you don't have realization, you keep it in the same form, perhaps, which it came to you, although no one else can understand it, or in your attempt to communicate it, you lose the essence. So that's what Vyas means, conceptualizing, understanding the teachings, and communicating it. And it's a continual process. Because the language of people, even in the same language, changes. Even in English, the way people understand words are pregnated with the history of their use. Just like you said, you used the word surrender. Surrender! I wrote an article about surrender. Maybe only a few people here will understand the reference. How many people here have heard of Maynard G. Krebs? Oh, come on, you're not that old. Okay, so he was a beatnik, and beatniks didn't like to work, so Dobie Gillis had the kind of respectable father, And then every time he would say, you know, Dobie, would you like to do some work? And Maynard Cribbs would go, work! And every time work, he'd go, work! And I think that today, surrender, surrender! Which means surrender, it's from Greek, it means to put yourself under. It means character. Surrender means character. Surrender means that higher than your own opinions and higher than your own desires is truth. And I put myself under truth. And God, just see what a person of character is. He follows the truth. Krishna's father, Vasudev, he gave all the children, and they, you know, because he wanted to save his own wife first, and he thought maybe in the future we won't know what happened, and then he gave his word, and Kamsa believed him, you know, because people had character, and the character means what? That they would adhere to the truth, and they would adhere to their word. So this is character. Person of character. If you think of a saintly person, what is a saintly person? The truth is higher than his own desires. Your desires may also be the truth. That's what's wonderful about surrendering to the truth. The truth also accommodates our desires. But our desires can be the truth, not because we desire it, because they conform to the truth, and not all our desires do. So this is the disciplic succession. Now, I wanted to share a reflection I had. And it's kind of this gathering. It's more than just a gathering. I mean, there's a beauty to this gathering, and the beauty of this gathering is that people are joining the community, but there's been a community here for over like 20 years. And, you know, I remember my godbrother Gunagrai Marj passed away, and I'll just say something of his relationship to this community is, I forgot where I was, but I got a call from him, and he said that, you know, he wanted to, Raghunath was already in the ashram, he wanted to start a band with them, shelter, and go out and kind of spread Krishna consciousness. And then he said, but I can't go myself. He said, can you also come along? And what my selfless, surrendered bhakti available to everyone answer was, because I knew how these bands traveled in these Volkswagen little buses or something. So I said, if you get a mobile home, I'll come. So he calls up an hour later, and a mobile home was, and then we traveled, and many people became devotees, and a lot of people in this community came from that. And the people that are coming now are not like 19 and 20. Before they were 19 and 20. So there's a phenomenon when they come from 19 and 20. It means they're coming to surrender to Krishna and surrender their lives to Krishna, but they don't have any other part of their life together. And they have to do that at the same time. Well, I have to be their guru trying to get them to surrender to Krishna. When? They don't know where they're going to live. They don't know who they're going to marry. They're not sure who their guru is. And they don't know what their occupation is. So today I felt like kind of really special in a way, because I think the credit is after 20 years or more, we're all still here, including me. Because that also sometimes didn't happen. So we're all here. And I really wanted a reflection on that I think is really important, is that people have become settled, you know, and are becoming settled. You know, they know who they're going to marry. or they're married or whatever, and the people are settled and generally their place and they have their occupation. And it generally, I feel like it takes like 20 years. When people come at that age, from that kind of background, where they're leaving, they've already renounced like their families in way. I think one thing about the Jersey community that's really settled, they never gave up their families. They stayed in Jersey. And it created a certain stability among them. And then what's nice to see is that their children are turning out really nicely, you know, and having some sense of Krishna. And Eka Chakra, he went to get his PhD, and, you know, how old are you now?
24.
And now you finally got a job.
I was 21 when I came for 10 temple, so there you go.
Well, no, he was working as, you know, a professional academic. You know, he fellowship at Yale, double postdoc at Columbia. But now
I just moved a house last week, too.
What?
I just moved into a new house last week, too.
Right, this is like, you're going to see the point I'm going to make about this now to all of you. And now he's, I think, a program director at the Yale School of Sacred Music. So it's like his dream job. He got his dream job. That's good. But the point I'm making now is, when these things are settled, then one can pursue the real purpose of life. And I always make this point that if Krishna consciousness has such a beautiful place for material enjoyment, it's just not our goal. In other words, and I quote Borijan, he said, we don't live to eat, we eat to live. We don't live to enjoy, we enjoy to live. So it has a purpose, but it's never the goal. And that's where it's strongly condemned, you know, and the preaching is very heavily, in societies when all these things are together, like you read in the Bhagavatam, and you know, the proper culture, you know, as soon as you get older, you get your parents' house. You know where you're going to live. There's a village guru that's like 90 years old. You know, and you know, they're in the Madhva line. You know, there's like a sannyasi hasn't fell down in 500 years. You know, and you got that, and then the marriages are arranged, but you know, with astrology and same things. So the stability is there. The stability is there in that type of culture. And therefore, people get really attached to it. And therefore, the preaching is so strong about family life and don't get attached. Because they made that the goal. They made that the goal. So in one sense, this was the you know, you work for this, and now there's stability in different ways. I'm just saying, and one of the things of stability is that I see practically, this is the first year that everyone is practically here. That's why it's so ecstatic. We're seeing everyone here, people we haven't seen for a long time. And then we see, you know, them bring their children, who look very beautiful, and have some sense of Krishna consciousness, but now the real thing. Now there's no excuse. Now the real thing. And the real thing is the holy name and dedicating yourself to the holy name. It works. I listened on that tape, as Prabhupada said, with conviction. And it like made sense to me. You know, he said, chant 16 rounds, then no more suffering. And I understood, you know, a drop of what he meant. You know, that this is an analogy that I saw in the world. Sometimes you have to understand the philosophy by seeing it in the world. You can't understand it theoretically. I give the example of humility. Again, words pregnated. Humility in the modern world is pregnated with exploitation and abuse and weakness. where humility, you talk about dainya in a proper culture, humility was the most powerful thing. Because the person could resist selfishness. He can resist the false ego. It's such a powerful thing. I remember when that Dr. Fakir Mohan, one of the learned scholars in India, he wanted to meet my friend's mother. My friend is from Oxford. So he said, I want to meet your mother. Let's go. I have to go. I want to meet your mother. Go. So he goes. And the mother comes out, and she's from Oxford. And so she kind of has like a simple dress and like kind of curly gray hair. It's not like, you know, very dignified. And he pays his obeisances to her. And my friend is so embarrassed. He pays his obeisances to her. He's so embarrassed. He said, this is Dr. Fakir Mohan. He's the chairman of the Sanskrit department. He's a Naishtika Brahmachari. He's a Sangeetachari. He's like the learned this. He's a Bhava Bhakti. And he's paying his obeisances. So it's like so powerful and so strong. So sometimes you have to see concepts. And one concept I really needed to see in the world is, what is bhakti? Is bhakti a practice? Is bhakti an energy of God? Is bhakti a feeling in the heart? Like, what is bhakti? And I, those of you who come to India with me or visited me, and many of you have, and we go to the gardens of Vrindavan and we meet my Mali friend, my gardener friend, Sridhar, as Arjuna calls it, my brudge delicatessen. Because I set this whole thing up with the thing and was serving out the rotis, and I got a whole system there. So I'm there, and I'm sitting with him, and he runs away. His grandson called him. And then, what's going on? And then I went, and then I saw a calf was born. And I never saw a calf born. Growing up in Brooklyn, I never saw a cow. So it was on all four legs, and then it was getting up. It was getting up, and then it got up, and it went for the mother's milk, and the mother started licking the it was so intensity. And the calf was, you know, the love of the calf for the mother, you are my maintainer, and the love of the mother for the calf, I am your shelter, I am your maintainer. And it was so intense. And I said, oh yeah, this is bhakti. There's an energy in the world between beings, and ultimately between the soul and God. And that energy is God's pleasure itself. And to have that in your heart is actually the goal of life, because all we are is receptacles for that energy. In Jiva Dharma, a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that there's two pleasures, Sarupananda, kind of the pleasure of yourself. I describe it like swinging in a hammock. You don't need anybody else. And then there's Bhaktiananda, love, which must come from someone else. We are that someone else. God, we're outside of God, within God, to be receptacles for his energy of love. And therefore, we share in that love. And that's who we are, and the goal of life is to awaken that. And there is a social philosophy of establishing things, and God is merciful. He teaches us lessons. I think there's a special mercy in this age by not having things together. Because there's a certain detachment that can come also. And that's the purpose. And how do we get that? And this is, I think, what Prabhupada taught. And this is what Prabhupada's mission is. And this is what I think people's responsibility is now. Is the holy name and is God, and we have a relationship with that. And just like someone told me, your analogy with the calf is not exactly right. Because sometimes the calf won't go to the cow, and someone's got to like direct them there. And then when he's directing them there, then he understands, yes, this is where I belong and this is where love is. So it's sometimes like that with us in the holy name. You know, we don't understand. And what Guru is, and what I'm trying to do now, is directing you to that and making commitment to that and to give that and to serve that. And that's what the right place, the right job, the right mate, and the right teacher is for. That's what stability is for. And without that, shrama evahi kevalam, it's simply useless. And it says three times, dharma sunushita pumsa viviksena katasya nopariye yativritim shrama evahi kevalam. Dharma sunushita, even perfect dharma. Dharma sunushita viviksena katasya nopariye. If it doesn't lead to love, and the symptom of love is glorification of God, if it doesn't lead to an attraction for that, then what's the value? As Jesus Christ said, and Prabhupada would quote, what profit a man get, he gains the whole world and loses his soul. And there's actually an advantage to all our confusion and all our distress and all the things we have to go through. There's something. And I would describe it by Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, which I was fortunate to read and study. He said, devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those devoid of a sense of false prestige. And he said, therefore, it's good to be born in Kali Yuga. Because it humbles us. It humbles us. In Satya Yuga, why didn't they take to the chanting of the holy name? They were so qualified. Why didn't they take? Why is there austerities and meditation? Because it's like sports, you know, like people want challenges. If something is easy, they're not attracted to it. Right? Some people like the Iron Man. You tell them to run the marathon, they marathon. They want the Iron Man. So when people have abilities, they couldn't accept that simply by chanting and dancing, and what to speak of kirtan. So I guess that's my reflection, that it's nice to see everyone here this year, practically everyone here. I don't know where Luke is, but I'm sure he's coming, or he's talking out in the back someplace. But I'm sure. But Luke is very, very steady. He practices Krishna consciousness once a year at my Vyas Puja. But he comes. But that's the message. And that's Prabhupada's message. And I'll tell you another thing that's really nice. You know, my propensity is study, you know, intellectual, contextual study. How's a verse? How does a verse fit into another verse? You know, but lately, because it's all around me, I have God brothers that are just reading through Prabhupada's books. And I kind of like, of course, they're just like boring. I like to study, you know. It's like reading through it. I like to study. But just I think that association, I started to do that every day just for the, you know, the vibration and just for the continuity and just by the association. It's very, very powerful. Yeah, I think that's my message, and that's what Vyas Puja is. It's worshiping that kind of surrender to truth. And the truth is the holy name, God has appeared. Kaler doshe net hey rajan eko asti mahagunan kirtanadeva krishna syabukta. So many faults, but there's one good quality. Okay. What I'll do now is just do something that Vaisheshika Guru told me. Does anybody remember anything from the lecture, like a reflection of it, something that's struck with you, that you remember?
Bhakti means making oneself available.
Bhakti means making oneself available. So important. That's it. You know, someone can be having some strong practice, chanting the holy name for service, but when he's asked to do something, he doesn't. It's what Krishna wants, and it's a liking for that. That's what's so hard. We're so conditioned that our pleasure will be our selfish desires rather than love. And what is love? Right? Love is to please. That's what bhakti is. And it's a struggle because we're so conditioned to the center. That's why I have to say another thing. I think the 20 years we were going through, I also got to see children grow up and mothers deal with children and see how different experiences actually teach people selflessness. You have to step out of the center, that someone else is in the center, and how that can be used. Again, it should be used. Now that the children are out of the home, Gail's daughter got married this year, then another one's getting married in March, and she has two children. Now she has plenty of time to chant the holy name. There's no excuse. That's the way it works. And that selflessness of taking care of your mother-in-law, right? What a sacrifice. They had to take care of her mother-in-law. They all had duties, taking care of the kids. But what for? To create that heart. For Tvasmin Parama Premu, for the highest love, universal love to God. Anybody else remember anything from the lecture? Jai Sri Radhe?
Humility is a very powerful thing.
You learned that. Okay, I won't embarrass anybody else. Yeah?
Same, but you said humility is the greatest strength because it can resist the false ego. So I just thought that was, yeah, to resist the false ego, that shows real strength.
Mm-hmm. Ghanisham is the Hindu chaplain at Columbia Presbyterian. And sometimes I went to his class in the Bhakti Center. Great name, End of Life Matters. Where they're discussing that. And all the people had such relevant comments. And I got something out of actually your class that I'm using in a Monday morning greetings. Is he described at death, you know, he's trained to, you know, not to push himself on other people. He knows how to give people comfort. But what he sees is, you know, unless you can draw on your relationship with Krishna at the end of life, you really don't have much to hang on to. And then he gave an example, which I like. It's going to be one of my Monday morning greetings, that he was telling a story of a devotee that got caught up by the riptide and you know, out to sea in the ocean and couldn't get back, and he couldn't swim back. And then he called to Krishna, and he looked in his heart, and he said, where is my relationship with Krishna? And at least he called out with that, I want my relationship with Krishna, and vowed if he ever saved, he would work on that. And obviously he told the story, so it worked. But that struck me too. And that's what I was thinking, because I was thinking, I have a tape that of Guru Grai Maharaj's last words, and I think they told it at the story at the Bhakti Center, that Kastuba called me and said, any way we can get a message to Guru Grai Maharaj, because Guru Grai Maharaj made Kastuba a devotee. He went to Habermeyer Street, like the most desolate, dangerous street, and he made Kastuba. Kastuba was grateful, so I dictated the letter to my friend who was taking care of Guna Grai Maharaj, and they read it to Guna Grai Maharaj. And practically with his last breath, I later I have the phone, he just said, And he was talking, and he heard the message, and he went, gratitude! So much love in my heart. So much. And then he couldn't speak, and then Boy Jumper was telling me, he's putting his hand on his heart. So that's another thing that struck me. Because another thing that Prabhupada said that really had an effect on me. That's why you just read the purports and you get some message. Prabhupada said, at death, the physical body is destroyed. He said, but in addition, if you become free from superfluous desires, the subtle body will be destroyed. And then you'll reach your eternal identity. If you don't, you have to take another birth. And when I heard that, man, I said, oh my God, if I have to go to PS272 again. And the competition for sense gratification and trying to figure out my identity, I'm still trying, you know. And I'm like, oh my God. And I just figured, like, giving up. And then I saw, you know, that Krishna does it. And by service and surrender, it attracted so much mercy. It wasn't that it was a struggle, because I was with him from the last year. And what is the dissolving of the subtle body? It's giving up all your cherished desires besides the holy name. I mean, Guna Grahi, one thing that he loved more than anything else was pizza. And cooking pizza. And I remember at the very end, you know, he was calling me and Indradum the Swami in to have pizza so he could watch. But the seriousness of it struck me. These two things. How are you just left with gratitude? How are you left with just gratitude, so much love in my heart, and get rid of all the other things? And that's because he was 100% faithful to the order of his spiritual master. And he actually gave his life, and he stepped out of the center, and mistakes are made, and we have our troubles and difficulties, but the core thing was there. And that core thing is such a beautiful thing because it's character. It's character. I'm going to live my life by truth. And that's the whole spiritual process. Anybody that's here, it probably meant in a previous life, you became tired. And what did you become tired of? You know, I've been trying to be happy by being the enjoyer and controller, and it doesn't work. Maybe there's something higher. Maybe there's some truth. That's what people are searching. What are people searching for? They already have their own desires. They already have their own understanding. They're searching for truth. So searching for truth. And I read a commentary that says Krishna sees that. He sees you want truth. And then what he does, he arranges sadhu sangha. He arranges the association with saintly people who represent that truth because they have surrendered themselves to the truth and therefore realize that truth and therefore can communicate it. So that's the foundation, and from everything else. And Bodhidharma Prabhu called me actually a few days after he left. He didn't get the times right, so it was 11:30 at night, which was a half hour before I get up. No, just okay. So I got up, and then he was just reflecting on it. Wow, what is Prabhupada's mercy? And it's demonstrated and it's live streamed around the world. It's mercy. It's mercy is undeserved kindness. This wasn't just a person's strength and efforts on his own. It was the Draupadi, you know, who being disrobed, holding on with one hand to the sari, seeing that it's impossible. And then throwing the hands up and chanting Hare Krishna and surrendering to Krishna and getting the mercy of Krishna. So let's recommit ourselves to the holy name and move forward in spiritual life under the mercy of Prabhupada and the disciplic succession, which means the followers of the parampara. It means diksha, it means siksha, it means parents that are fixed, it means everyone. Acharya mam vijaniyam. Okay. I think we can go on to the next part, so we'll say Srila Prabhupada ki.